from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
This is, in fact, your host for Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
Rich will be here any minute now.
Any minute, any hour, any day, any
thematically,
year.
He runs late. If you want to call into the show, call us at 866-536-1100 for the record. That's toll-free in the U.S., in Canada, whatever. You just pick up a phone and...
We pay for your calls.
Yeah.
Out of our own empty pockets.
I don't.
Well, actually, I'm lying. I don't
either. We have a radio station.
But someone does.
If you're listening on this podcast, you know. You should know. We have an actual radio station that picks up the bills for that.
That's right.
I don't have to do the hard work of encoding the audio and all that.
You should take advantage of that.
Yeah. Actually, I do have to encode the audio.
Well.
But whatever. They give me a CD. That's all that matters. So we got a lot to cover this week. I don't know if we're going to get to it all. Somehow I was able to search the web and find a lot of different topics, whereas lately I haven't been able to find much previous shows. I don't know.
Somehow I was able to discover the most expensive video game ever.
Yeah, that was
with that, that's with an A.
Locally.
A-R. Yes. E-V-A-R.
Ever.
Yeah.
I gotcha. All right. Well, feel free to also, if you're listening live, go to chatterboxgameshow.com and join us in the live chatter room. I just entered the chat. Well, I've been in the chat, but not paying attention to it. And now that the show started, I am. And Rich will be as well when he gets here. So
I also found the most expensive bed ever.
Do I care about beds?
Well, maybe when they're $30,000.
Okay. Is it circular?
Alas, no.
Okay. Well, before we get to the show, of course, I can't resist pointing out that today is January 20th, Inauguration Day. So that's pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah.
We don't have to hear nuclear anymore.
No. And we do get to find out about the new Gatling gun in Barack Obama's Suburban. Very exciting.
Yeah, certainly. Best part, though, is if we ever hear Bush talk, we know that it doesn't matter. That's pretty cool. So anyway, let's talk about some games. This weekend, I mentioned on my Twitter account, and
You're still doing that thing?
Yeah, of course.
Does anybody like... I don't want to get sidetracked.
No, I have some followers.
All right,
and
cool.
So I'm on Twitter. Of course, sadly, people like Jeff Keighley have far more followers than me. And of course he's certainly,
well, he does have a lot of consonants.
Yeah. And he's known by more people. So that's understandable, but I'd like to beef it up a little bit. If anybody's interested, feel free to go to our website, Chatterbox Game Show. And, you know, you'll find me.
Find out what Alon's doing at 9:03 PM.
Well, no, I don't do that. I don't Twitter much. No.
I'm going to the toilet now.
When I come across a video game thought, think it aloud via Twitter. So anyway, Cbox Alon is my Twitter account that's, you know, pertains to video games and whatever. So I mentioned to people that I got three. I went to KB Toys. I don't know if you're aware of this, but KB Toys going out of business.
They're gone. I was surprised.
They still exist.
Still around.
I've come across three of their stores in the last couple months.
I think that they've been going out of business for the past 15 years.
But it's great because you know how usually you go to a store and it says going out of business, 10% off, 20% off, and stuff really isn't for sale that much.
Right.
If they are, like, the stuff you want is excluded.
It's the percent, and then you're like, this is too expensive still.
Yeah. No. Not at KB, man. I've bought five games from there. So one of them was for somebody else. But their stuff was 40% off. Their store would say, like, 40 to 60% off, and the games would be 40%. And I went this weekend. I just happened to be in a mall that had it. And everything is now, like, 60 to 80% off, and the games are 60%.
Nice.
So I got Shadow of the Colossus, Greatest Hits, which is normally $20, 60% off, $8, right? I got, I saw Neo Geo Battle Coliseum. I didn't even know this existed. And what's weird, like, I may have gotten a press release on it sometime in the last year, but thought...
You bought a Neo Geo game.
No, it's PS2,
oh, okay.
But it's the Neo Geo Battle Coliseum, which is a single fighting game made up of, or composed of, characters from a lot of past Neo Geo games, including the guys from Metal Slug as fightable characters. Or All usable right. characters.
That one was not on my radar, but...
All right. I swear that I remember seeing a press release about it a long time ago, but didn't give it a second thought. Apparently, the game actually made it to production. Listed at $9.99, 60% off, got it for $4.
There's few games that I won't buy for $4.
Yeah. Brand new! Neo Geo, it's history in the making.
That's,
so
I think that's an eBay selection right there.
Add that to the list for $4. I got the only one, I think. Shadow of the Colossus,
perhaps,
oddly,
perhaps the
several.
Only one made, even.
Maybe. But it's going to be worth it one day if I ever open it. And then a certified used copy of Patapon, listed at $18. I got it for like $7.19. They don't sell used games normally, but apparently they've been receiving them in stock, probably from Overstock at GameStop or something.
Yeah, I don't think I'd even buy that game for that price.
It's the first PSP game I've ever purchased.
Wow, I'm sorry. I just have to...
Well, the lady saw me play it at GDC one time, and she thought, oh, that's so cute. Patapon. She wanted me to pick it up.
I'd be interested to see if either of you actually can sustain interest in that for any length of time.
Well, I'll have to find my PSP in order to play it. But my point is, for less than $20, I got three games, and Patapon was used but in fantastic condition. So if anybody wants Shadow of the Colossus and they can't find it, like one of my Twitter followers, who I think is in Scotland, was upset that I could find the game, but, you know, he's in Scotland, so he's not going to get a copy of his own. But if you can find a KB Toys near you, head there now, because it's only going to be open for a short time longer.
Like tomorrow, probably?
Maybe. They had all sorts of games. Not a huge selection. I don't think they had any hardware. I didn't see any joysticks, controllers, systems, none of that. Yeah. Certainly, those could be sold elsewhere.
All right, you want to hear about my $60,000 game?
Real quick, sure.
There's not a lot to say.
That's why I don't want to talk about it for a long time.
It's $60,000.
Okay.
Guess what kind of game it is?
It's
a racing game.
What a surprise.
And so where do you find $60,000 games and $30,000
bets? You might argue, by the way, that more expensive games are held by the army.
Yes, it's true. They usually don't sell them.
Well, were they selling this $60,000 game?
Yes, it's for sale, right? So where do you find these products? Of course, it's at the Barrett Jackson famous auction, where you pay $20 to look at things that you can't afford. Okay. So I was thoroughly impressed and shocked. They've got like three gigantic plasma TVs attached to this huge rig, which is completely hydraulic and can go in all these different directions. And, of course, in keeping with the $60,000 price, yes, that's right, nobody's allowed to play it except for the salesperson.
Okay, so did you sit in an actual car?
So it has what looks like the partial shell of an F1 car.
And right? It's connected to what machine?
So it's a complete system. So it's like it's not connected to anything that...
Like you boot it up and it plays the game?
Right. Like I'm assuming that there's a PC in it, right? Because
okay.
Obviously, I mean, how else would they make it, right?
Dude, I remember at Fun World in New Hampshire, which is a big, like, three-story castle-like arcade, very close to where I grew up. They had a game that they claimed was one of only two in the world. You actually sat inside a Roadster, which I believe is a foreign name for a Miata.
They call it the Roadster.
Okay, so a model of Miata is the Roadster?
It's the Mazda Roadster in Japan.
Okay, so it is.
And maybe in Europe as well.
Okay, so you sit inside this Miata, apparently a Roadster.
Yeah. And
you use the actual...
We also have the Yunos Roadster, which is a variation of that.
Well, thank you for my education.
Got it.
So you sit inside this actual car, and you use the actual steering wheel in the actual car, and they've got fans hooked up to it too, so it feels like there's wind in your face, right? And your friend can go in and sit in the passenger seat
with
you.
Was that a variation of Ridge Racer?
It was Ridge Racer.
Yeah, because they made like two of those, right?
That's what I heard because they had a big sign saying play one of only two in the world.
It's true. It's this Ridge Racer hooked up to a flippin' Miata.
Yeah. So you sit in the Miata and then there's a big wall size screen. There's three of them actually. So like the center one is perpendicular to you and then the two on the sides are sort of folded in a bit.
Right.
And it's probably 10 feet high, right? Each wall is about 10 feet high.
Right.
So you're in this car facing the original Ridge Racer. Playing it with this actual Miata. Right. Had you heard about this prior to my talking about
it? Yeah, I've seen pictures of it.
They had it at the local arcade, 10 minutes from my house where I grew up.
That's pretty hot.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. If $60,000 is too much, all you need to do is just go around the way, and they've for all the poor people, those people can buy the $7,000 arcade racing simulator, Which
same game, different setup?
No, different setup, different vendor, different everything. $7,000 if you don't have 60K lying around.
And by the way, game?
It's crap. They let people play that one. Total crap.
Was it the comparison of taking like the Ridge Racers of today and then going back and playing Hard Drivin'?
Well, yes and no. It was
those who don't remember, Hard Drivin' had about three colors. It was all polygons.
Yeah,
but were,
I remember
like,
that. I mean, it's not quite that drastic, but. I mean, it was this chair that you sit in, and that was also fully hydraulic, right? But instead of, I don't know how to say it in like 20 seconds that we have, so I'm just gonna say it was crap.
Okay.
And that's really all we need to say about
good.
That.
So I'm gonna talk about my experience with Eco and Shadow of the Colossus when we get back, and because playing them this weekend made me think about
and
how they're not as fantastic as people think.
And so, I'll just make witty jokes all along.
We'll be right back.
Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX, AM 1100.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox. Video game show? Video game radio?
Video game radio?
Yeah.
Did you really forget the name of our show?
I forgot the radio part of our show. You
can just say Chatterbox if you forget, and then no one will know,
well,
and you won't feel humiliated.
You know, no, see, my brain is just so full of so many things that words like radio become meaningless to me.
All right, well, let's get to it. I want to actually relay a short story from the chat room here. So Pen15 was asking me how Neo Geo Battle Coliseum was, and I reminded him that I haven't played it yet. And then I said, it's hard to play fighting games because not anybody around here wants to play fighting games. It might be because fighting games are kind of like old at this point. But so my friend Megadeth is in the chat room here, and he's like, maybe it's because nobody wants to play fighters with you. And
I could see that.
I was reminded of this story years ago when we were young lads in like high school or junior high.
Not
right?
Lasses, lads.
Lads, that's
right.
Correct. So in like junior high or something, and I brought my Super Nintendo over and we played some iteration of Street Fighter 2. I don't remember if it was the original one or if it was Hyper Fighting or Super Street Fighter 2 or whatever. But I was like, here, I'll handicap myself. You do whatever you want. I will use Chun-Li with just medium punch.
Now, did you announce this beforehand?
Yes, I told him. I may have even told him, you tell me what button to use and I will use just that one button.
And then did you proceed to beat him up, or did
totally
you get
I totally stomped him. It was either light punch or medium punch with just Chun-Li.
Okay, so I can understand why that would cause someone to not want to play with you, but that's not as bad as what happened to me first year of college when this guy ventured into my room for some reason and challenged me at Street Fighter, right? So he was like, this is what he did, right? He totally kicked my butt. And then we played a few more rounds, right? And then after about the fifth round, okay, there's eight characters you can pick from, remember?
We're talking about the original Street Fighter 2.
Street Fighter 2 on the Super Nintendo,
okay.
For anyone who cares. So after about the fifth game, I realized that what he was doing was he was proceeding to beat me with every single character in the game.
At least once?
Once, right? Which is much,
so
much more.
So you just go from one to the next to the next to the next.
Yes, which was much more demotivating. Far more than if he had just used the middle punch.
Oh, well. Sorry to hear that. It's okay.
Well, that's okay. He did say that I was probably the best Street Fighter player in Maryland.
Are you really any good at fighting games?
Well,
are your Maryland players just that bad?
Well, even though that was a completely uncalled for dig at Maryland and Street Fighter players alike, no, I would say the former is more apropos.
So you're good.
Well, I invested quite a bit of time into Street Fighter,
so why
but no other games.
I've been fantasizing recently, actually, because Street Fighter 4 is coming out next month, and I've been talking about it, whatever. I want to have a Street Fighter 4 like release, it's finally out, party at my house with people who actually like fighting games.
Well,
Phoenicians over.
See, I don't like to say I like fighting games, because most of them are S, but...
Yeah.
I do like the Street Fighter.
All right. Well, Street Fighter 4 is very Street Fighter 2-ish.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah. Actually, I was reading the the Getting Started Guide or whatever, like Hardcore Player's Guide, that I think Joystick or somebody, they got to see the original game and whatever, and they can't talk about it yet, but they they published this guide that had an interview with Seth Killian in it, who's the guy at Capcom that I know who invited us out to the release party. There was an interview with him and stuff, and I was reading through it, and actually I found several errors, like spelling and grammar errors. So yeah, I need to...
You immediately write him a letter.
Well, I'm going to and suggest, you know, if they ever need an editor for that sort of thing.
That's a good follow-up there.
I can handle that. So you know, that's not exactly the sort of thing you learn at UAT, at the University of Advanced Technology.
No, but I'm
I
sure
forgot
there's,
to pitch
there's other
earlier
things
in the,
that
in
you
the
can learn there.
Yeah, but I'm good at it anyway, nonetheless. So getting back to games, I had said that I really want to keep talking about Street Fighter 4, but I said I want to talk about Ico and Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in what you have to say about these, since they are they're not old yet, but they're not new anymore.
Okay, so I got Shadow of the Colossus, and I mentioned the lady friend again has been told about these games in the past by myself and by other people, and I was like, well, Ico is really the first one. They're not, you know, in the same exact line of games. One isn't the sequel to the other, but Ico came first, so we'll play some Ico. And
they have similar sensibilities.
Yeah. First of all, playing Ico on a 1080p TV with a PlayStation 2, it wasn't with a PlayStation 3. Yeah. Still, it looks like absolute crap. So,
well, the PlayStation 3 would probably make it worse looking.
Probably, exactly. So I'm like, it's on the system it should be on.
Right.
And it really looked like junk. So
yeah, and that's because it looked like junk to begin with.
If you happen to have a CRT sitting right next to your fancy new TV, and you're going to play an old PlayStation 2 game that doesn't run in progressive, you should really just use the old TV. So anyway, popped in Ico. She had a hard time figuring out what was going on. I honestly have a hard time figuring out what's going on in that game.
Well, that's ostensibly the appeal of it.
I remember having the same trouble with it the first time around years ago when it was a new game. I didn't love it that much, and when I go back and play it, I realize just how bad some of the animation is, and some of, like, all of the control is really bad.
But it's mysterious.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I don't know the names of the guys who made it, because I can't remember the names of everybody
it's
who
evocative.
Makes games. But, you know, then they go ahead and make Shadow of the Colossus, and both of these games are renowned as excellent games. And to be honest, like, they're not. Like, I want to love them because they feel epic.
Right.
The sound is pretty good. The story is interesting enough.
Okay.
But the gameplay is really kind of weak. And Shadow of the Colossus, it was actually a lot more fun to me. It was fun enough that I wanted to keep playing. It's a little bit frustrating when you can't figure out how to beat the guys, but you can cheat if you have to.
Or, like, what's going on, or why is this happening to me?
In the example of Ico, well, I'll go back to that. If you're pressing in a direction and you jump, then obviously your character jumps, but not just straight up. Like, he'll jump in a direction. And when he does that, his jump is completely absurd. He lunges forward with his pelvis.
Yeah.
His body.
I jump like that.
His body goes in this strange arc with his chest out, like he's going to do a chest bump to somebody.
Yeah.
Very strange. There's no two animations for this one. Like, you jump forward and that's how he jumps.
Right.
And so it's very strange to watch, and it's weird to me because that
did
game
it piss you off the lunging.
It was just strange, right? Like, I can forgive you jump into a wall and it has a strange, like, back push. Right, because it's hard to program exactly how far away from the wall the guy's going to jump and to make the animation look smooth when he hits an object. But just the standard jump animation is really strange. And the whole game, sort of the fluidity and the graphics and the feeling of it are what set it apart from others that make it good. It was so strange to have this completely awkward animation thrown in the middle of it.
Right.
Especially because of, like, all the scripted sequences where he has really excellent animation.
Right.
So I found it strange. And I always talk about how control is of the utmost importance in a lot of games.
I have a good analogy about this, but I want you to complete your thoughts about
it. All right.
It.
So then getting to Shadow of the Colossus, also a good game made by the same people, but it had similar faults. Difficult to control. People always complain about controlling the horse. It was really bad. On top of that, I complain about treasure games being games where you just fight bosses, where, you know, there's some potentially really interesting play mechanic that's never actually put to use because you just play till you get to a boss.
Well, it is, but you fight bosses.
Sometimes it is.
And the stage is about 10 seconds long.
Games like Stretch Panic is a perfect example. Right. It has a lot of potential to be a fun game, and it's actually kind of boring.
But let's not count that, right? But Shadow of the Colossus is... The Shadow stage Colossus, is the boss.
When you jump on the guy and you're like, it's really epic. The music is great. It's weird when you fall off a guy and the music goes from heavy tone music to absolutely nothing.
Yeah. Well, they're disappointed that you fell. They can't play like
that. They obviously didn't take cues from Nintendo games, which are much smoother with their sound. But anyway, so the control on the guy could certainly be better. But for the most part, it's a really interesting and gratifying experience.
I can totally see how in this game, whoever worked on it, they were probably absolutely deliberate with the difficulty and the awkwardness of it. But keep going.
But
they probably did that on purpose.
I look back on it, and
I'm
like, we look at this game like it's this epic adventure that probably took years and years and years to make. And I think
some people do. I wouldn't say that it's like
most people do. It's really respected. And
I wouldn't even say most people.
I'm really satisfied to have these games because they represent something special. Like there is something in them that is different from other games and makes it special. But unfortunately, the gameplay part of it, which is kind of key, was actually a big letdown.
Yes.
And I don't think it's fair to say, well, it was good back then and it's not good now. These types of games hold their own. The graphics aren't really as good as today.
No, the passage of time is not an excuse.
Yeah.
Okay? But I was thinking about it as you were talking, and it just dawned on me. You know what these games are like? These games are like Wes Anderson films.
I don't understand the reference because I don't know who Wes Anderson is.
Okay. I just saw the Darjeeling Limited.
I saw that at your house the other day.
Yeah, a few days ago. I saw it a couple times. The first time I saw it, I was like, this is crap. Nothing happens in this movie. It's the most... And the funny thing is I don't know if I can actually convey this in the minute or so we have left, but there's something about Wes Anderson films. He also did like The Life Aquatic and then Rushmore. Is it Rushmore? No, The Royal Tenenbaums. Okay. Anyway, so there's something about his films, particularly like The Darjeeling Limited, where if you go into it with the average expectations of a film, like I wish something would happen or there's a plot to be resolved, you will leave being utterly vexed and feeling like you've been pickpocketed, right?
Those things are standard desires of mine when watching a movie.
Yes, but I realize that there's a lot of value in those films. And looking at them the second time, without those expectations, I found a whole new dimension to them that I could appreciate. And I think that that's analogous with Shadow of the Colossus.
That's the thing. Like, I see an art style that I appreciate.
Right.
But the gameplay...
But not the gameplay.
I just don't expect
that
much
from it.
You
don't watch Wes Anderson for the plot.
There's so much in that game that could have been, though.
Yeah, well...
All right. We'll talk about some other stuff when we come back. Stay tuned.
Hey, it's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's number one. Woohoo!
All right, and we're back. And Rich is even in the studio.
He's finally here.
I'm finally here.
Crazy.
And I'm finally disappointed.
I think only because he wants a ride home. That's probably why.
Yeah, well.
Like I made it to the studio. I walked five miles in snow, uphills both ways in Arizona.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did.
That's what he sounds like, too. So, plenty
that's
more to talk
sound
about.
Like?
Right before you got here, I was talking about Ico and Shadow of the Colossus.
And Wes Anderson.
How I got Shadow of the Colossus for $8 at KB because they have this crazy sale going on.
New?
Yeah, brand new, dude.
Cool.
I also got Neo Geo Battle Coliseum, which is a single fighting game made up of different players from all the different Neo Geo games, including like the playable characters from Metal Slug are now fighters in this game. It's kind of crazy. So I haven't even played it yet, though.
That's awesome.
That was $4.
$4.
Brand new. Anyway, so lots of things I want to talk about now.
So we're done with the Colossus.
We talked about it.
That game's cool.
See?
Hey, you know what? Two people isn't the universe. That's all
no, everybody agrees that game's awesome.
That's what's weird. We don't.
I don't agree.
I want to. I really
do. No, you know
do.
What? This is the effing bandwagon.
You don't
because people are too scared to criticize...
It's super interesting. It's got a really cool hook, and I enjoyed it when I played it during those hooks. But I look at it afterwards, and I'm just like, this is it. I'm more critical of Ico than I am Shadow of the Colossus. Shadow of the Colossus was actually pretty fun. Ico,
really?
Not actually that fun. It's more a narrative, which goes along with my usual liking that I don't really like games that are storyline-based, and I like games that are action-based. So, anyway, that was the discussion last segment. You weren't here. You lose.
I think maybe
okay.
Our caller might have something to say about the Colossus.
Shadow of the Colossus is awesome.
Maybe, but first, I wanted to play one audio clip. Norm, is this going to play if I play an audio clip?
I guess that's a no.
Let's try again. Okay, good.
All right.
That was the headphone.
Now that all our listeners have been deaf.
I'll reduce that in post, but it wasn't totally plugged in. So anyway.
Make it louder.
I just noticed on Kotaku they had this thing. I don't know where they got it from. This video is not linked to another website. They have the video stored right on their server, so I don't know where it's coming from. And I don't know if this is just a viral video or if it's a marketing effort.
Are you telling me
you're
not going to play the Red Star rap?
We can play that too.
Yeah.
But I wanted to play this. According to Kotaku's headline is Marketing Gone Wild, Tits and Ass and Tenchu Shadow Assassins. Have you seen this, Rich?
No.
All right. So you're not going to see the video, obviously.
But you don't need to.
But so you know, it's a video of live action totally unrelated to the game and clips of the game. All right. You could probably guess what happens. Go to Kotaku if you want to see it. This is the audio, which will, I promise, give you the proper feel for what this video is.
Hi, I'm Joe Francis from Girls Gone Wild, and I'm about to give you my smoking hot exclusive review of Tenchu Shadow Assassins. If you like Girls Gone Wild, you've got to check out some of the chicks in this game.
All right.
Somehow they've decided to mix in Girls Gone Wild marketing with video game marketing, and I don't
with engine revving continuously apparently.
Yeah. I don't understand the. I mean, it's got to be viral. It's got to be people wanting to sell Tenchu. Who makes Tenchu? Is it a Sony game? Are they the publishers?
No, it's not
anymore.
Sony.
I mean, originally, like
Tenchu
a long
games
time ago,
on the Xbox.
Activision
it's not
published
Sony.
It a while ago, I think.
All right. Well, it's...
Is it Koei?
It's not Koei, you silly man.
But it's got to be a viral marketing effort to just get people to love boobs and Tenchu, which is crazy because, like, you kind of let it go in Ninja Gaiden 2 just because you know the Tecmo guys are, like...
Yeah, what's up with that?
Crazy
that game
dudes.
Has way more boobs. Come on.
But these guys are actually marketing it as boobalicious.
Well, maybe they're hoping that people will mistake it for Ninja Gaiden. You're like, oh, that's a ninja game with boobs.
Oh, yeah, it must be good, right? By the way, I went into Best Buy this Sunday because I happened to be near a Best Buy at the same time I was going to that KB, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just happened to be there.
What was in the Best Buy?
I think I was looking for shoes. Well, I went to Best Buy because I heard about this Ninja Gaiden 2 for the Xbox 360 for only $10. It was on sale. I didn't know exactly when the dates were. I didn't know if it was still on. But apparently, I went in on Sunday. The sale ended on Saturday. But they had a copy in the store.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been $10.
Really?
So... Now's the time to go pick up all the crap games that you never bought. Well, good games that you never bought before.
I got.
I won Ninja Gaiden 2 for $10.
I got Red Alert 3 for free.
All right, how'd that happen? Just because.
I had the Best Buy gift card, so I like bought some stuff, like a mouse and a 360 controller, and Red Alert 3. I was like, hey, it's on sale, I'll buy it.
That's not free.
No. But then when they were like ringing the stuff up, like she just forgot to ring up Red Alert 3.
Oh, so that's theft. Very good.
That's fantastic.
She didn't ring it up.
The police will be arriving soon.
All right. Excellent. Well, that's such a good story.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm a little bit curious about who thought this up. I guess viral marketing is the big thing these days. This has to be it.
It is the big. It is the big thing.
But what's strange here is that this video is running straight off of the Kotaku or the Gawker servers. Gawker runs Kotaku. So.
Sure
they obviously
like
they probably sent it in an email that says, here, you should put this on your website, right? Like the whole video, which is strange to me. right? It's not that viral because viral is supposed to be secret or something.
Yeah.
Well, anyway. They're usually not that good at covering their tracks.
So we do have a caller. We got a few minutes to talk to him before the next break. So do any of us know Eric from North Carolina? Is he a friend of someone's?
I don't know. I think I might have heard some about someone named Eric from North Carolina.
All right. Well, Eric's on the air.
What's up, Eric? I don't know you.
Going back earlier in the show.
You're not just calling because you're my friend.
No, I'm not. It's you guys were swapping stories about getting schooled in games, and Ara talked about getting schooled in Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
I just feel compelled that your listeners and you, Alon, know that Ara, he did redeem himself and did once school a bunch of 12-year-olds at DDR, 12-year-old girls at DDR.
I don't doubt that for a second.
At the
Six Flags in L.A., and these were really good 12-year-old girls who sniggered and laughed as the old, and this is pre-bodybuilding Ara, so the old fat guy was getting up.
Was there a pre-bodybuilding Ara?
I was so fat, dude.
Ara.
I have never seen a picture of fat Ara.
And if you've never seen Ara sweat, it looked like he was crying.
I was dropped 225 pounds back in the day.
With no bodybuilding?
With no muscle, all fat.
Because Ara right now is a friggin' brick house.
Yeah. Well,
for those who don't
far.
Know Ara.
Maybe Mortar.
He used to be fat, dude.
225, no muscle.
Crazy. You're right, though, because right now, any t-shirt he has big old pit stains.
Yeah, and what did I do right after my coup de grace on the DDR machine?
Yes, well, right afterwards, Ara was, you know, it was nice enough to offer to let's go on one more roller coaster ride, and we waited about 20
minutes. Oh man,
in line,
I don't want to hear this.
20 minutes in line, and when we finally got up to the front, our head was just green, and we stepped onto the roller coaster, and we stepped right through and back off, and then I waited for Ara to come out of the bathroom for like a half hour.
Wait, so you didn't even ride the roller coaster?
No, we didn't. He just
no, it was an emergency.
So you got. You hung it out through the line just long enough to then puke before.
No, it just came. It just, you know, there's latency involved.
Dude, DDR makes me sick sometimes.
Yeah, dude. It was an emergent.
Dude, one time in Indianapolis after Thanksgiving, when I was going to school in Indiana, I came back from Thanksgiving, and it was really hard to find DDR machines in that era, right? This was in, sometime between 98 and 2002, right? So probably in like 2000 or something. So I returned from New Hampshire where I lived to school, and I went straight with my luggage and everything to the Indianapolis Mall, and where they had DDR, and I had some friends who worked there, so I got free play and whatever. And I played for like 8 hours straight, and I was feeling totally sick, and I like got a sandwich that was horrible. Fruit made me feel better. But then the next morning at like 5:30 a.m., I woke up feeling strange. It was crazy. I'm not sure why I'm awake. Why am I awake this early? And then I realized, wait, oh, it's because my feet really hurt. Oh, crap. My feet really hurt, and I couldn't walk that whole day because I had, like, ripped some muscles in my feet or something.
It took you 8 hours of DDR playing and sleep to realize that your feet hurt.
I woke up with my feet in some sort of crazy, unchangeable cramp.
Whoa.
They were, like, ripped arches or something.
You played DDR for 8 hours?
Yeah.
Like, did you take breaks here and there?
Well, yeah, because other people would play.
Oh, okay.
But I played
a lot.
It
wasn't like you.
No, it was
continuous.
No, he was playing endless mode for 8 hours.
That was the time in my life when people were, like, doing DDR to get into the Guinness Book of World Records and stuff, and I was like, I could totally play for 2 days straight. Like, I was hardcore DDR. Like,
wow.
Unbelievably hard.
All right, so if you've had any limbs damaged from video games, please call us at 866-536-1100.
Yeah. And so thanks for that insight, Eric.
When did the DDR end? Guitar Hero? Is that what did it?
No, DDR comes in waves, man. Every DDR player hits a point where they're no longer interested. And then a period goes by, whether it's 2 months, 6 months, 8 months, 2 years, where they get back into it. And then they go hardcore into it for like a short period of time. And then it totally dies off again.
Okay.
But I've told you this before. Like, I even got a scholarship to UAT for, like, building serious DDR dance pads.
For your DDR skill.
Yeah. I was, like, the first person to put together a wooden metal arcade-style dance pad.
In the world.
It's crazy. It's how I started my controller-building career. Actually, I think it's how I ended it. But anyway. We'll be back after the break. Talk about a few more things, and then we'll wrap it up.
Welcome back, guys. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio with formerly Fat Aura.
Yeah. And, of course, this is Lon.
And currently Fat Rich.
Yeah. I keep ragging on him. I feel really bad because I rag on him. I was like, dude, we're totally going to get an exercise regimen for you. You are going to be hot to trot.
Yeah.
Because he's young. What are you, 20, 21, 22?
22.
I can put you on an exercise regimen.
22 years old, and by the time I'm convinced that in just 1 year, we could get him total max style. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
You listen
let's
to me,
it.
You live longer. Of course, I had, hyperthyroid for a while.
Did you?
Yeah. So
That'll
I could,
certainly thin you out.
You know, I could eat tons of food and lose weight. That was pretty freaking awesome.
And that just goes away?
And, well, I was lucky, you know, just like had a little bit of hyperthyroid, you know, just hoping that I don't have, you know, a thyroid storm, which will kill you right away. Getting some drugs that, you know, have a 1 in 10,000 idiosyncratic side effect that might kill you right away. But other than that, it's really awesome.
Okay.
Here, take this pill. Oh, he's dead.
And it just went away for a while, so.
Well, lucky
cool.
You, I guess.
Yeah.
People always tell me that I'm on the speedy train to Diabetesville with all the sugar intake.
Yeah. Well, but I'm hoping that I'll get, like, another month or two of hyperthyroid so I can, you know, lose about 15 pounds.
Cut it down a bit. Well, Rich, you could use some of that.
Yeah, I should just make myself have a hyperthyroid.
We're just going to plant a worm in him. All right, so all right. Before we move on, I got to point out once again that our fantastic sponsor is UAT, the University of Advanced Technology. You can head over to uat.edu to learn more about the prospect of becoming a game designer or programmer or security program, whatever the hell you want. They do a lot of it. Anyway, someone posed Pen15 specifically posed a great question in the chat room that I want to get to before we get to anything else. He says, I have a question for everyone in the room. What games do you play to relax? I've recently been too tired to play my hardcore games, so I end up mainly playing real-time strategy games to relax.
Yes.
Aura.
Well, come on.
First.
I think you know the answer to this question.
Racing games?
To relax? Come on.
Yeah, I was going to say to relax.
I would love to say that. I would love to say I play intense racing games to relax, but no.
But no, it actually makes you crazy to play racing games.
It does. But
he went on a 10-minute tirade about Forza 2 to me before the show started.
Yeah. I started playing that again.
I thought to myself, thank goodness I've got plenty of other stuff to talk about today.
That's funny. Yeah.
Although I was so happy to realize that all the wheels in that game have the realistic weight associated with them, and they have like 40 brands, and I was like,
hooray.
Oh, you know what? I picked out the lightest wheels I could for my car. They're Volks. So I went in the list in the game out of hundreds of wheels, and I picked the Volks, and indeed, they're the lightest. So real-world information helped me in that game.
That's good. Fantastic.
Anyway.
All right, moving on.
But, something that doesn't require a lot of hand-eye coordination, obviously, like Disgaea. I'm playing Disgaea 3 right now.
You finally popped it in, huh?
It's, I finally put it in. It's, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm kind of
80
getting
hours?
Can we get a bite of that? I finally put it in. Can we get that clip separated out?
Yes. I finally put it in. Okay.
Let's get
so,
that.
Yeah, and I get the flashbacks, you know, much like a former drug addict would, and that doesn't feel that great, but otherwise it's pretty cool.
Okay. Rich?
Lately, I've been playing some Peggle.
Peggle. Yeah, you told me I should really play that game.
Peggle Deluxe. That and like
Sick Man.
Picross on the DS like is still just awesome.
Have you not finished Picross yet?
No, I have, but you can. There's like 80 billion puzzles to download on the Wi-Fi thing on the network. They just release them like every week. They come up with new puzzles, so I just download those like and just keep playing them.
I should totally do that.
Oh, so much fun.
Are there any good ones? Like hard ones?
Yeah.
All
there's
right.
Some like sick 25 by 25 puzzles.
All right, I see that. So games I play to relax. It's more like games I play when I look at all my games and I was like, there's nothing fun to play. And then I realize later I have this list of 30 or 50 games in my collection that I still haven't played and I should. But what I play when I've got some time to kill, Catan on Xbox Live Arcade. Definitely that. Also, if I had Geometry Wars actually sitting on the hard drive, I'd probably play that a lot, too.
Very relaxing.
Meanwhile, I just play it as the demo.
Because you can't see what's going on anyway.
Yeah. But we all know, I don't like digital distribution games, so I have it on a disc on the unplugged. So I don't have it in the system all the time. But I'd certainly play that. So Catan and Carcassonne, I play a lot of. I imagine there'd probably be other games, too. Like, I think what it comes down to is the accessibility. I'm so lazy and relaxed, I don't want to get up off the couch. So it's whatever's on the hard drive already.
Yeah.
Or what can be downloaded to play. That's the type of game that's relaxing. I don't have to. The thought process of getting a game and putting
copying
in the
system. So what is the Mr. Penn play when he's relaxed? Let's do a little bit of chat room interaction here.
He said real-time strategy games.
Well, okay, what? That there's a game called real-time strategy games? Come on.
Well, who the hell cares?
Just in general.
I do, and our thousands and thousands of listeners.
Although, I mean, there's a big difference between, like, Warcraft 3, Command & Conquer, Red Alert, and, like, Universe at War. They're very different
games. Age of Empires 2.
Okay, that's satisfying.
He's like, I have a big backlog.
That's old school.
Which is why I feel guilty for playing Age of Empires 2 for 2 to 3 hours every day instead.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Civilization is a good comfort game, too.
Fopo wants me to point out. Which one?
Civilization. Yeah. I could just play that game for 18 hours and not realize it.
I know you're a big fan. Fopo wants me to point out Cran Physics.
Okay.
What is that?
It's apparently a game, and I haven't played it, so I don't know.
It's like the hot thing right now. It's the cool hot thing. It's like what people are saying. Actually, not people. I think one media outlet said, it's this year's Portal.
You know what else is the cool thing? Apparently, you know the IGF games, right?
Yeah.
Apparently one of the finalists is a game that Ara worked on.
This is true.
He only brings this up to me today.
Well, I just remembered it.
Do you even know the title to this game?
This is working title.
What's the game?
We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
It's in the finalists. There has to be some sort of title.
It involves a ball. We'll talk about it later.
Is that the splatter color thingy?
No, we'll talk about it later.
All right.
Did you get my drift?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We may... We may have a guest who
we may have a developed. Okay. We may have a guest. We may have somebody who is the main guy. I just kind of helped out, made some levels.
That's cool.
Cool.
So are you going to go to GDC, Rich? If we can get an invite.
Yes, if we get an invite.
I just requested invites last night.
All right.
Well, it's strange to request an invite for a show.
Well, we're not.
But I clearly haven't been invited yet.
We're not EGM, but apparently nobody else is now anyway.
Well, if they don't let us, we'll be like, well, we're going to go anyways, and that's how we roll.
I probably won't do that.
Well, I'd like to see you try that.
All right. So
I'll make some phone calls.
The million of other things we wanted to talk about was something about Metacritic and Paul Wedgwood.
Oh, yeah.
Right, you have the article in front of you, right?
Right. So this is
something that Rich and I have talked about before as well.
Apparently there's a lot of pressure on developers, this is coming from the publishers, who pay them to obtain high Metacritic scores. And for those of you who don't know, Metacritic is a score aggregator, which means it averages a bunch of review scores and it makes an aggregate score.
Yeah.
So ostensibly, the Metacritic score is some reflection of the overall...
Yeah.
What people think of your game.
Which is strange to me because so few people actually use Metacritic, but the publishers use it to measure how they did well in all the different review places.
Right. Well, here's the funny thing is that, this article that we're looking at, this interview with Mr. Paul Wedgwood, he's very, very astute to point out that in 2007, it was 2 years ago, but two of the highest selling video games are also two of the lowest rated.
Yeah.
What?
And it's not a surprise.
What was the highest selling that was rated low?
Well, he didn't say which ones they were.
Yeah,
but
I was missing out that point as well.
It's not uncommon to see a high-selling game get reviewed very poorly, and it's also not uncommon to see a very highly lauded game sell like crap.
Well, see, I agree with that second part. There are really good, highly reviewed games that don't sell well. I can't think of any big sellers that aren't reviewed well.
Well, I can, but I won't tell you what it is.
How about Wii Play?
That had good reviews, didn't it not?
No, nobody liked Wii Play. It got 6 out of 10.
That doesn't count because it's a controller. Okay, I'm thinking about game sales.
It doesn't count because it's a counter argument.
Right. Well, anyway, his argument here is that it would be. So the American school system basically uses the scale 70 to 100.
Yeah.
And then everybody in America, therefore, you rate things, you use 60 or 70 to 100 as the scale. And he points out that, and this is only one of his arguments, but he points out that 0 is really 60. And you don't ever see a score of 37.
Right.
If it's below 60, it's going to be 0.
And this pisses me off. Every once in a while, an outlet will give out one of those lowball scores.
Just for fun. It gets an 8.
It pisses me off because they do it to the low-hanging fruit. They do it to the easiest targets. If you're going to give a low score, have some balls and do it to a game that you think deserves a low score that somebody might actually like.
No, that's
not something that everyone knows they're going to hate.
Well, that's Gerstmann. People freaked out that he gave Twilight Princess an 8 or 7 or something. But on D2ED, Rev Anthony reviewed Twilight Princess, whatever it's called, the Zelda game, a 4 out of 10. And, like, it got on Dig, and, like, people, like...
What did Gerstmann rate poorly?
No, Gerstmann rated it at an 8, and people got mad about that.
8 out of 10?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then...
That's crazy.
No, Revant then reviewed it 4 out of 10, and, like, it got on Dig, and, like, all
okay,
these people
freaked
out.
Okay, but was it the legitimate opinion that he was expressing?
He hates
or was
the
he
game.
Like, I'm going to be all controversial?
No, it was, like, legitimate opinion. Like,
Zelda
he really
has
did
worn
not
off
like
on
the
me.
Game.
I'm
he really
not terribly
like
excited
it.
By it either. But.
Yeah. Well, I just have two things to express about this. The first one is that you can never really encapsulate anything important from a number, especially...
Not from a number with such finute
right,
grain,
well,
right?
When you're talking about video games particularly, because I think that they've developed to the point that they're so complex that there's too much subjectivity in there.
And artistry. That's hard
right,
to...
Right.
What's
and,
the point of a rating,
about?
Though?
Right. No, it's not. And then the other thing is that I've said this years ago, okay? This is what reviews should do. You give a 2... Or a 9. That's it. That's your only choice.
Could be slightly worse. Could be slightly better.
This is yeah. How clear would things be? Just play it or don't play it. Simple.
Wedgwood is pushing for like a 5-star system, like hotels, like movies.
Yeah.
Because like a 4 is really good, right? Whereas here, apparently, he was referring to some game he didn't name. One game, the developer was told that they wouldn't get their bonus or whatever if it didn't score a 9 or above.
Yeah.
Right, 9
yeah,
out of 10.
That's effed up.
So that's near perfect, right? But
very few games.
He's right.
That.
We only rate games basically between 60 and 100. Lots of stuff we didn't get to, like the Forbes article about Kotick, and I wanted to talk about the Microsoft letter to new owners of the Xbox 360. Kotaku does some cool stuff sometimes, and they had executives at Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft write letters to, like, theoretical letters. To new owners of their system, and I think there's a lot of interesting content to be garnered from those, so maybe we'll talk about that next week. If you have any ideas, email us chatterboxgameshow.com, tell us what you'd like us to talk about. Of course, you can also just join us in the chat room during the show. So thanks everybody for listening. We'll be back next week.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.